grab somebody beside you and just say, give me a squeeze. You may be seated. Mickey Sue, come up here. And first of all, I want to say something, and she's going to say something after me. We just flow together. We were separated at birth. I came out earlier. And I look like another member of the family. We don't match. But anyway, I want to tell you, downstairs they have all the vendors, but if you have not gotten her CDs and listened to her sing, I don't know what's wrong. I hope you're not listening to Brad somebody or Hillbilly Top or whatever there's out there. But anyway, this is what we need to listen to. We need to listen to what glorifies the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so she's got some beautiful ones down there. And I love all of them. What? I did not see this one. Okay, put those in my purse when you leave. Okay. All right. All righty. You've got to go down there and buy them.
And we're flowing, right? So I want to say that there is no one more wonderful in this world than Donna Linville. And I've already said it last night. You already know that. I mean, how many times have you been out here?
I don't know.
100. She's been out here 100 times. I'm so jealous. They love you. And if you don't have these wonderful videos, you must get them. If you want to take home some laughter and you want to feel closely connected to Donna Linville forever, because doesn't she make you feel wonderful? You talk about squeeze. Ah! This is the best girl in the world to squeeze. We just generate so much out of each other. I want you to know, I don't mean to take up your time, but oh, she sings too. You know that? Did you know that Donna Linville sings too? Of course, she's been out here 100 times. Okay. So anyway, this is her CD of her singing. And oh, what a grand singer that she is. And I just wish I would have been in that bathroom that day when the world found you. I guess you need to know the story. Okay. Now, but I want to tell you about one of these videos. Fast. She came to Alexandria to make one of these videos. And she was back in the back getting ready. Which one is it? This one? Okay. I love it. Okay. This is her best one by far. Really? You think so? Well, anyway, she did it in Alexandria. And y'all, if you can imagine, I mean, she's totally at home, isn't she? I mean, have you ever seen her when she wasn't comfortable with you and with herself and with her God? Just totally comfortable. That night, this was her first video, if I'm not right. Tell me. Okay, it was her first time. And she was back there. And she was fanning. And she just was saying, I've never done this. I've never done this, Mick. I've never done this. Where's the bathroom? So we went to the bathroom and came back in. Do I look okay? Do I look okay? Yes, you look great. You're ready to go. You're ready to go. So she was stepping out, and just as you know that one little sound that she makes. Ah! No, what is it?
I can't do it right now. Ow! Ow!
Ow! She goes, ow! And I'm thinking, oh! Wrong. I thought maybe something broke or something. And she said, I need some water.
Remember that? You took me in Anthony's office. He prayed for
her. I took her in Anthony's office and he prayed for her. After that, I thought, my God, what else is she going to need? I can't supply everything. But she did beautifully. And you will miss out on it if you don't take her home with you. Okay, now I want to tell about this. Okay, this is about some note cards. And there's a little lady in our church who is an incredible prayer warrior and found this gifting out much later in life. She's like 50 to 60 in there. And she is a prayer warrior, and she what did I say? Much later in life, 50s or 60s. Yeah, like, God, I say stuff wrong all the time. Sing, okay. No, it's her time. Her time. Well, anyway, she asked permission, and she started taking some photography when she was in prayer with women, and she has a prayer group, and she started taking some photography, and it was okay with them. She got permission, but she put these in her computer and put them through a particular system there, and it lit up with, like, the aura, the presence of God that must have been in that room lit up on this particular area that she put it in, and she made pictures out of it. And I'm not saying it right because I'm trying to hurry. But it is honestly the most amazing thing. And it is wonderful to take home as a gift. I wish that I could give you one just because it speaks. This is literally our women that are in prayer, in intercession, or in praise and worship at that time with photography being taken. And it illuminated on a card. And it's just, it's amazing how that God shows his presence through in and throughout, right? I'm sorry.
Put that in my purse. Put them all in my purse. Wow. Wasn't Brother Mullins a, what can we say? What can we say? I've got to say this. I was sitting there and I told Mickey, I said, Mickey, look at my notes. And we were trying to figure out how to say Uzza. And then he went, Uzza. Then Brother Mullen said, Uzza. And I went, look, it's on my notes, Uzza. But I couldn't figure out. I had just asked her, do you say Uzza? Uzza. And she went, no, I think you, Uzza. I went, what? What? And then he went, Uzza. And I went, oh, there he just said it. Just wipe that verse out. I'm not going to use that one either. Oh. We were trying to say, before I get up there, help me. I've got to tell you, I told you last night, I'll tell you something funny. First of all, I love Sister Mullins. I love them very, very much. I love the committee. I love this district. Oh, my goodness. I feel like I'm home. You know, I'm a homebody person. As much as I go, when I see people I love, when Bobby Shumate came in, I wanted to squeeze her real hard. When Gayla was over here, I wanted to hug her. And I think as I get older, I've always loved to be loved. Don't we all? And I've always loved to love. In my family, it was so pathetic. My husband, when I married him, he didn't grow up in a loving family. He grew up in alcoholism and abuse and everything. So when he came to visit our family, he thought it was, this is all mush. Because when we said goodbye, we were required, even if we went 5 to 10 minutes down the road, to say goodbye to everybody. Because Mom's feeling was you could drop dead while you're gone or get killed or something. So when we walked out the door, we said, bye, Daddy, bye, Nancy, bye, Mommy, bye, Gigi, doggy. And so we would hug and squeeze and everything. And then when we come back, we had to tell everybody we were back. I'm home. I'm back. And so when I married my husband, he said, oh, we got to go through this ritual every time. Bye, Mom. Love you, Dad. Hug you, Nancy. Bye, doggy. Gigi. We had a few different ones through life. And so then we hadn't been married too long when my mom reached over and hugged Gary. And she had hugged him up to then, but he was sort of, well, you know, when we were in public, I'd reach for his hand. And it's amazing what the Holy Ghost does to people. I reached for his hand. He said, baby, we're in public. Now I have to go, babe, we're in public. What? What? It's amazing how the personality changes. You get better and better. But my mom reached over and kissed him on the cheek and said, I love you, son. He got in the car and we drove a bit and he said, I love that mush. You know, Mickey, come and hug me. I'm getting real mellow. Sister Melody, let's have a group hug. I feel like group. Get a group hug, right? This is the family of the Lord, and I'm serious. I love you. Sing, I love you, you love me, we're the family. What is that it? I don't have any children, but it's Barney. Barney. I love you, you love me. I feel like hugging, squizzing. Why not? Why not? When are we supposed to be out of here? I'm telling you what. When I came in and everybody was hugging me, Tori was giving me, she came early this morning, gave me this drink. And I have never had one, but anyway, that was wonderful. She came and knocked and there they stood and had that Jabba or Juba and thank you. All my gifts in my room, and I just am a puddle with love today. Just a puddle of love. It's a big puddle, but it's a big puddle. I just love to love. But you know what? The more I'm in Jesus, the closer I walk with Jesus, the more your image means nothing to me. In the fact that all I can feel is the love when I travel overseas. And all these, the missionary that's here, those little short people in New Guinea. And thank God my sinuses always close up because I have sinus problems. And they hug me and squeeze me in Central America and Africa. And you walk in a village and they go, oh, then I'm right in the middle of the dirt going, oh, with them. You know, I don't know what it means, but it's fun. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're the family of the Lord. Hallelujah. We're to love one another. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. We're to squeeze and hug and love and not what his brother Mellon said. I don't even think what people, I couldn't even tell you what anybody wore today. It don't mean hill of beans to me. I told him last night I'm not wearing heels. That's what was a joke with me and Mickey. I said, no, I'm not wearing heels. Shoot me and kill me. Just knock me over. I'm not going to wear none. Because I fall all the time. But the love of the Lord means so much to this family. Thank you for inviting me. And it's been a pleasure for every courtesy that's been given to me. It's been a joy. But I've got to tell you this. And then I'm going to tell something funny. And then I'm just asking the Lord. I'm going to, Sister Bobby asked me to sing. I've lost all my soundtracks at one particular place. I don't know where they went, but they're somewhere in this great beyond. But I just got to get them all back. But love. I'm going over 60 down fast. I'll be 62 in a few months. But one of the greatest loves, I've got so many great loves in my life. But my wonderful sister. And my sister asked me, my sister was 8 years older than me. And my sister, the night before she died instantly, Nancy loved lounge outfits. Oh, my goodness. And we were in Dillard's. And my mom and I, mom was with me, and so we were in Virginia, and so walking through it. Nancy had come to the hospital that day, wasn't feeling good, and they didn't know what it was, and so they kept her that night. And so mom, we were walking. Mom said, wouldn't Nancy look great in that lounge outfit? And it was $99.99. And I don't pay no $99.99 for no nothing lounging. If General Dollar Store don't have it, we'll have to find it somewhere else. I mean, I'm telling you. If nobody's going to see my lounger, you don't want to see what I'm wearing in my motel room. I got a purple bottoms or then a different blue top and whatever's comfortable. If that pajama bottom don't match that top, I don't mind, but that's more comfortable. This big turquoise outfit is bigger and nicer, and I just mix match. It don't matter. I look like I came from the great something. But I said, Mother, this is $99.99. A lounge outfit? I think not. I didn't say it that way to my mother because I'd been shorter today. But I said, Mom, well, let's look at something else. You know, let's go around maybe Walmart or somewhere. So we were, and I had a dealer's credit card, and I have cash or a checkbook with me, and it was zero balance. I was proud of that zero balance because I was waiting for Black Friday. But anyway, we walked through the mall and everything, and something gnawed at me, like, you're Nancy, you love more than anything in the world. Get her that lounge outfit. Oh, mercy, what is wrong with you? I'm thinking this all the time. So on the way back to the car, I said, Mom, I'm just going to get that lounge outfit. So I did. I had them to put it up, fix it up and everything, and I was going to mail it out the next morning. I went home and I called Nancy and said, I just want you to know something. There's somebody that loves you in Virginia. Because when you see this lounge outfit... You better lounge everywhere with that outfit. You wear it to church. Put a belt on it. Do something. It's like an Afghan or something, you know. Put a belt on it. Put a shawl over it. Go out in the front lawn. Do something. Because Bobby won't appreciate it. That's her husband. I mean, he's just going to say, oh, that's cute. And just go on, you know. But we laughed over the phone. She said, you better get that here to me fast. We wheezed and laughed. That was the last time I talked to her. Do you know that 6 weeks later was the very first day that I ever spoke at a conference? Nancy's been dead now 23 years. I called Shirley Henson, who was the first person I ever spoke at a ladies' conference. I said, Shirley, I can't come. Nancy just died. And I can't come. I was just going to do a humor deal. She said, no, you've got to come, Donna. I just feel like the Lord wants you to come. Anyway, I went, and I said, don't tell nobody my sister's dead, because I'm trying to handle people saying I'm sad she's gone or sorry for you. You can only absorb so much. So I was in my motel room or the place there, the campground, crying and just bawling and crying and bawling, and then go into church and do whatever I was doing. But at Nancy's coffin, something happened to me. And I don't know why I'm even saying this, because this is something that's very intimate to my soul. I was at her coffin. And my sister, as great as she was, had a very, very difficult life in many different ways. And I was standing at her coffin, and everybody walked away. And I was by myself, and I looked at that beautiful redheaded. And she was a cute one of the family, pretty one. And she let me walk in her shadow. And I looked at Nancy, and all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me, because my sister lived a life struggling to maintain her flight of an eagle. Her home, her marriage, her situation she was in. And she swam upstream her whole marriage life to maintain her walk with God. When I looked at Nancy, what a beautiful, beautiful woman she was. The Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to tell the world, your other sisters, how much I love them. It was like a blast in my soul. It was 6 weeks later. I go to Shirley Henson's Michigan Ladies Conference, and I was supposed to do a humor moment, which I did, but something happened. Sister Janet Trout had to go home early, and Shirley said, Donna, will you close the service today? I said, well, sure, I've never done that. I've never done a service like this that I'm doing today. She said, do it. And I said, okay, well, I don't even know what I said. I got up and did whatever, and then had a great altar time. And I was just standing there, not crying about the service, crying about Nancy. When behind me, someone put their hand on my neck, like my sister always hugged me. It scared me. I went, I thought, because Nancy always put her hand on my neck a certain way when she come up to hug me. And the lady behind me said, Sister Limbaugh, I don't know you. I don't know why I'm saying this to you. Don't know anything about you, but the Lord just said, we're your sisters now. And every time I've decided to quit traveling, someone comes up and hugs my neck that way and said, I'm your sister now. Now, that's not a phenomenal for me, but it made me understand that the world in the kingdom of God is our family. And this is not my message today, but I just felt like the one sitting beside you, I cannot tell you how happy I was that I spent $99.99 on the thing that she never saw. I kept that box and laid it over my guest bedroom for a long, long time and just laid beside it. But this morning, I just feel like that we need to love one another. And I do have a little something I want to say at the end, but you can never tell anybody too much how much you love them. Now, my 90-year-old mommy lives with me. She's about right here now. And she's going down fast, Jelaine. Going down fast. We went to Hawaii in May, and she and I went on a canoe ride. They had to help me in and had to help her in, then had to help me out and had to help her out. But she's gone down fast since then. I love my mom like you loved your daddy. Or maybe I love my mom more than you love you. No. There's nobody like Brother Lumpkin was. But when I see her every day, I squeeze that little body to me. And I hug her. When I see her Bible open up and praying. And she always corrects me. She said, now are you praying? Are you seeking God? Are you doing this? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Just to walk with Him means everything to me. You know, my mom said, Donna, I'm not going to always be with you. And I said, I know that, Mother. She said, but I've raised you to love somebody that'll never leave you, that'll never forsake you. I said, I know that, Mom. I know that. Mickey sang a song last night that blessed me. The beginning, remember? It's you, not me. Or it's you, not me. I look at people and I know that we have just a time. I look at people I love and I think, I'm going to hug you so tight. I don't ever want you to leave me. But we're not working for this earth. We're not forever here. We don't know what tomorrow is for any of us. But I know that, Mom, you taught me to love somebody that will never leave me and will love me so much. Even when I fail, even when I'm not at my best, you love me. You love me. It's amazing. I don't know how you do. I don't know how it is, but I can't imagine that anybody loves me more than my mommy. I just cannot imagine it. I know this is a hodgepodge of a meal this morning from me, but I feel like God wants the Holy Ghost love for one another. I feel that. And so, just to walk with Him means everything to me. Just to know His hand is there, He's leading me. Though this world may pass me by. Go their way, let me be, just to walk with Him means everything to me. If you know it, sing it with me. Just to walk with Him means everything to me. Just to know His hand is there, He's leading me. Though this world will pass me by, go their way, let me be just to walk with Him. He's everything to me. Now, as they play that song again, I want you to reach out to someone. Now, I'm intending to, when I come into heaven, I don't know, I'm intending for me to hear somebody say, Donna, I'm over here. And then my mom, oh my goodness, for we'll know one another. She'll probably squeeze me and be able to lift me then. And swing me around like she did when I was a baby girl. Oh my goodness. Nancy, you and I, and Mom, and my brother, and whomever else, we're going to be a family living together, worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, where there'll be no more tears, there don't be no cancer, there are no more heartaches, no more grief, no more of this world will we even have any dust on us. There'll be no dust remaining on us. There no terra firma will be on our body. It'll be a new earth and a new heaven where you and I will rejoice forever. There'll be a glory that we will be so bright. The light of the King will be shining on your face and my face. We'll be going together shouting and glorifying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We'll walk the streets of gold. Hallelujah! Hallelujah, Jesus! Let's love Him and let's love one another right now. Hallelujah! Oh! Hallelujah, Jesus! Reach out to someone beside you. And I found out the more I love someone, the more I love Jesus. The more I love Jesus, the more I love you. Let's pray for one another right now. To walk with Him means everything to me. Just to know His hand is there, He's leading me. Though this world will pass me by, go their way, let me be just with Him. We're not wasting our time to love one another. I don't want to lose you. I want you to live till we go to heaven together. Just to walk with Him means everything to me. Just to know His hand. There, He's leading me. Though this world will pass, just to know is it, is there peace? Though this world will pass me by. Hallelujah. If you want to pray with someone else, you can go their way. Just to walk with Him means everything to me. Oh, just to walk with Him means everything. Just to know His hand is there, He's leading me. Those will pass by. I'd like for us, as we keep on praying, this past week I was with my dearest, one of my dearest friends. Life, and I want us to do this in a moment. Don't, you can stay where you're at. She's caring for her elderly parents and was so busy. I flew in last Tuesday, and went straight to the hospital with her to some family members of their church. And we went to another hospital. Next day, I went to another hospital with her. And she was running and going. And all of a sudden, I could see she was going and going. And we rushed to go see her family, the elderly, and taking care of food to them. And she was running and running. And I said to her, I said, this is uncomfortable for me to say this, because it's just uncomfortable. It's not uncomfortable when I do it like this. Love ya. Love ya. That's not uncomfortable to me. I love ya. Hey, I love ya. Love y'all. Love ya. That's easy to say. But I was across the table from her, and I looked at her, and I said, this is uncomfortable for me to say this to you, but I want you to know how much I love you. I've esteemed you and respected you for so many years. And I want you to know that I've got your back and I'm praying for you. I love you. And tears started coming to her eyes. She said, I know that, darling. I love you too. We're in this together, Cheryl. I love you. Last night during service, before Mickey got up, I could have kicked myself. Mickey, I wanted to reach over and grab your hand and look you eyeball to eyeball. Instead of saying, I love you, Mick, I just want to look you eyeball to eyeball. And just, I felt a warmth of a melancholy love. And I wanted to look at you and say, which we've done before, but I wanted to look at you and say, Mickey, look at me. I love you. And this morning, I know it's uncomfortable because this world twists and turns. I love yous. But this morning, I want us. We have till 12:30, and then we're going to be out of here. I've got so much more I'm wanting to do. I'm just stunned with the. I love Golden Corral buffets. Those chocolate fountains. The steak. That salad bar. We're having a buffet today. We had the steak first. Steak and baked potato and salad. And I'm just the dessert bar. Big old marshmallow. I'm certainly that squeezy today. The Holy Ghost started it early this morning. I wanted to hug everybody. I wanted to hug my sister. After 23 years, I still can close my eyes and smell beautiful. That was her favorite cologne. I still go to the mall and smell beautiful. I can't buy it. But I ask, just can I go to the sample bar and just smell it for just a bit when I go shopping. But I want you to look at someone and sincerely say, I sure do love you. Do it. Let's do it.
She's just letting you love. Don't get your purse and leave.
Agree with me, we're all a part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. You are important to me. I need you to survive.
Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord praise one more time. I'm not going to keep you long, but I do want to share one thing with you. You may be seated and squeeze and hug later. More. If you give me 15 minutes and we'll let you go to lunch. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'd like for you to find you a place and let's talk just a few more minutes. My mom always gives me last-minute instructions. I had an upper respiratory infection. I was at some district conference or district deal, and there's a big platform up at this district, and my mom gave me last-minute instructions, and before I left, make sure you're taking your antibiotics and doing all that. And I said, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. And so then I'm at this campground because she knows where I'm here. She knows I'm here, who I'm with. I leave her my phone number, who all contact numbers so she can get me if she needs me. I got my cell phone, so all that. So I'm up on the platform in this district, and a note comes up to the platform, and a little white note goes all the way down. And they hand it to me, and it says, your mother called the district office and said you better be taking your antibiotics. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We were on an airplane or standing in to get in an airplane, and my mother, there was a situation over there that wasn't good, and a couple that was doing a little bit more than they should, saying goodbye, and I went over there. Mom said, don't you look at that, my Lord. I said, Mom, I'm, you know, in my 50s. That does not make a hill of beans to me. I don't want that contamination and all that mess over there. I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm going to give you some last-minute instructions here. As Brother Mullins were so commentary, I mean, he did it all in all the above. But I want to share one thing with you, and that is this. I have a choice with the type of lifestyle I want in my life. And you have a choice in your own particular world. I love to have the advantage of a storm or advantage of a battle. I like to know that I have the advantage of something. I don't know if you've ever been sick, but when you go into the hospital and you're fixing to have a major surgery, they want to make sure your heart, you have an advantage on your side. Your heart's doing good, your breathing's good, your blood count's good, and all of that. When I went in for my kidney surgery quite a few years ago, they wanted to make sure that they had an advantage, that my heart was good, my blood flow was good. And so when he went into surgery to take my kidney out or work on that tumor that was there, he said, I want to make sure that everything else is working good because we're going to be at a disadvantage trying to disconnect that kidney. Because I can only have 23 minutes to fix that tumor in that kidney. When I cut it off, I have 23 minutes or the kidney's dead. Well, I thought, well, hopefully everything else, I have an advantage that when he goes in, I'm healthy enough to sustain this type of surgery. Well, the Lord blessed me, and He didn't have to cut the kidney. He froze the tumor. But I go every 6 months for MRI once a year and every other 6 months for an ultrasound on that tumor to make sure it's not growing. But I'm always constantly watching. I'm taking vitamins for immune system. Advantage. I'm amazed with us living a lifestyle where we're starting out at a disadvantage. In my notes, the Israelites always failed, had wars and severe trauma and death when they disregarded, as Brother Mullen said, the Ark of the Covenant. They disregarded it. The Bible says that they kept 2,000 cubits ahead of them. They would carry the ark ahead of the Israelites. 2,000 feet ahead of them. 2,000 cubic feet ahead of them. So many times they disregarded it at the haphazardness. They lifted the lid. I believe when they lifted the lid, there was about, in my notes here, they lifted the lid and there was 50,000 and 70 people were killed. Because they had lost their respect and honor. They wanted to see what was inside of it. 50,000 people were killed. And so, Israel, you're at a disadvantage. Mommy, you're at a disadvantage if God is not 2,000 cubits ahead of you. It is imperative that you and I do everything in our power, as was so said properly. You see, I'm conscious of the fact that we're certainly loved by Jesus and kept by Jesus and protected by Jesus and have a covering by Jesus. But I can disqualify the advancement of my life and the covering and the forward motion if I am as disregarding to the power and the glory of God in my life, and I humdrum and through go life and I don't pray, I don't seek His word, I don't read the word of God. You see, you are at a disadvantage when you have trouble in your marriage if He's not 2,000 cubits ahead of you. You're at a disadvantage if your teenager son comes in and you haven't prayed for months. You're at a disadvantage. You're at a disadvantage in the fact that you don't have a leg to stand on. When you're coming to God, we expect the good housekeeping stamp of approval on anything we ask God for. We expect it to be. But there's still, God is still God. God hadn't changed today as He did in the Old Testament. God is still a jealous God. God is still that God. He does not coexist with another God in your life. He does not coexist with it in your home. He does not coexist with another God as this person did in the Old Testament. And the temple of Dagon fell over and that God fell over. God, I recognize constantly that God, my flesh and my spirit's constantly warring against keeping God as the focus and the center of my life. I'm constantly having to monitor to make sure that I'm aware that the ark of the glory of God is in my home. But I want that ark because there was a man in the Old Testament that I wanted to Obed-Edom, if I said it right. Had the ark for 3 months. And David heard that the house of Obed-Edom was blessed and all of his family. Now, you may not be the keeper, so I'm intending my husband be the keeper of the ark. No, that's great. He can. But I purposed a long time ago that, like the Shulamite woman said, I'm building on a house for the prophet. I'm going to have the prophet in my house. I'm going to have the King of Kings in my home. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what this sister's doing. I don't care if that family's not living for God in the church. I don't care if their teenagers are doing it that way. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And you are going to be an advancement of the kingdom of God I'm going to do it like God wants me to do it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. It is imperative that you get a tenacity and a grit. It doesn't matter if all the families of the church are half-heartedly living for God. I'm glad that I lived with a mom that could care less what anybody thought. She could care less what anybody thought when she'd get up and shout and fall out. And I'm embarrassed. I'm a teenager. I didn't want her to fall out and shout and everybody putting stuff over her legs. I thought that was humiliating. Hallelujah. But today at 90, she's going all over the church. I'm thankful that it was not a half-hearted, half-given, half-going, half-doing. It's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're committed till the last breath of our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We are living in half-hearted churches, half-hearted people. Resent spending money for youth camp, but they'll spend $150 on a little K-box or Ox-box or whatever those things are. Oh my goodness, half-hearted people. What's wrong with you, moms? What's wrong with you, grandmothers? Hallelujah, Jesus. You'll take him to a sport, but you won't take him Wednesday night. You'll take him to this, but you won't do that. What's wrong with you? Hallelujah. I'm the keeper of the glory of God. The ark's going to be in my home. I'm going to have the blessings of God over my family and my home. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, you know what? You can live any way you want to live. You go to be lost. I mean, take your family with you. You do whatever you want to do. I mean, it's your call. People can be in their church all their lives and have never established a prayer life. I'm stunned with that. I'm stunned that you have not the perception of the Spirit. I'm stunned that you are living a lifestyle that does not require the Spirit. Oh my goodness, the Spirit is what washes. The Word is what washes my mind from filthy thoughts. A right spirit, a right attitude, a right character. Hallelujah, Jesus. This constantly monitor me. Because I recognize the keeper, I want to be the keeper. You see, Eli, as he was so becoming lazy and whatever he became, it was a young man, Samuel, that heard, see, the light went out, the candle went out in the temple. God called Samuel and he said, here am I. Or Samuel told him, here I am. I don't want the light in my home. I don't care how bad your life is. I don't care how devastating it is. I don't care what you're going through. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm not talking about calisthenics either of prayer. I'm not talking about that, because I recognize, as Mick was talking last night, when I went through some different times, I felt like I couldn't even pray. I didn't have enough sense to spit. But the Lord, we're the one that puts a high level of expectation on our own lives. But the prayer that sitting on the couch looking out the front window, I said, Lord, I don't even have enough sense to do anything. And the Lord said, you have enough strength to lift up your eyelids. Just lift up your eyes unto the hills. Just lift them up. Just say my name. I'll come. You see, so many times our self-loathing of our own expectation. I even one time I grew up with a World War II veteran. My dad was, as a matter of fact, my mom got the Holy Ghost in her 40s. So my dad was not in church. And there used to be on that box in the living room late at night. I don't know when it was, but my dad was so patriotic that they said, oh, say, can you see? And there'd be three jets flying. My dad would make a stand and salute. That's how patriotic he was. But no matter how you are, there still has to be a consciousness that you want the light of the glory of God in your world, in your life. My dad drank. He's a social drinker, cocktails, martinis every night, and made his drinks and sat there with his bourbon. And my mom had just gotten the Holy Ghost. But she would say, come here, kids. The night she got the Holy Ghost, when I find out what happened to me, I'll tell you all about it. A week later, my 16-year-olds got it. Sister, a week later, I got it at 9. So, from there on, Mother was well aware of keeping the glory in that house. When Daddy got a raise, Mom said, you know who gave it to us. Now, your daddy's smart. We get a new car. Oh, Chef, that's my dad's nickname. That car is gorgeous. Kids, come back here and talk to me. And we go back there, and Mom would go, we know who gave us the car. Hallelujah. I didn't realize, but she was keeping that light burning. She was keeping it going. We'd almost hit something. I never saw it, but she sort of used it as a reference. Let's thank God right now that car could have hit us just right then. Well, we never even saw the car. Where was it? What? Okay, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Every little twist and turn was something about Jesus. You know, oh, aren't we glad? Oh, God, let us have steak tonight. Let's thank God right now. Thank God. Us kids, what in the world? Yeah. And then every Sunday morning, we listen to Chuck Wagon Gang all the way to church. Like, oh, no, Mom, not Chuck Wagon Gang. Every Sunday morning. You know, it just didn't fit what we wanted. But every twist and turn, I didn't realize that Mom recognized, I'm going to make sure they know that I'm an Obadiah. That ark is in my house. And I'm planning for my family to be blessed. And I'm planning everyone around me to be blessed. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. There's prerequisites to blessings. There's prerequisites, as Karen said last night. You do this, I'll do that, this and that. Will you play almost softly where I'm almost thinking I'm almost done? Where the keyboardist is it? So here we are. You know, go home and call your pastor. I don't want this to really happen, but a heart attack. In the fact, you need to pull yourself up and look in that mirror. And pull yourself up to the fact of knowing, is God going 2,000 cubits ahead of me? A lot of our world is suffering. A lot of our home is suffering. Because you are a dual nature. You act good Sunday, but you're mean Monday. You smile and agree and do it Tuesday. And the multiple personalities of your lifestyle causes your children to be cynical, disrespectful, and do not care about keeping the glory of the ark as Hophni and Phinehas, who came into the temple and laughed and played their seducing, filthy attitude. Where teenagers, where they can come and shout Sunday night, get in the back seat of the car when they walk out of church. What? What? You mean you don't understand the glory of God? You don't understand if you touch it, you can die? What? You don't understand this? You go home. live the life you want to live. Quit. Don't pray. Don't live. Don't come church Wednesday night. Don't come Sunday night. Don't, you know, sit, do whatever you want to do. But I want, I don't care what anybody else wants. I don't care. Everybody else is living in my church. But I want the blessing. He loves those that do wrong, but he blesses those that do right. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Did you hear me? He loves those that do wrong, but he blesses those that do right. I want to be under the umbrella protection of the power of God in my home. I pulled you up here. I'm sorry. I can't play piano and stand, so you're wonderful. I wasn't going to do it, but I'm going to do it. I did it recently here in California, but I have to make myself know that the glory of God, I'm keeping it in my life. I have to monitor how much I read, how much I do, how much I do. Is that diffusing the glory in my home? Is what, you know, is my activity here more important than the activity? You know, it's a filtering system in the spirit realm, because I want God to know, please, Jesus, that you're number one in our home. You're number one in my home. Now, my mom's 90, and I've never, this is the truth. This is the truth. I have never, one time, ever, heard my mother ever speak against any authority. She was a saint in a church. My mom's never gotten in the car and dissected a message. Huff and puffed. Never. So I thought everybody in our church were angels. And everybody that prayed for me loved me. I wasn't lifting my arms, grating the one on my left, saying, she shouldn't touch me. She's not walking and living for God. Because I heard mom say she's dating this guy and da, 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 da. I just thought everybody walked on clouds. We were pastoring in Tennessee when I didn't realize someone I saw. I said, how's your brother? She said, Donna, didn't you know that he was our youth leader? That he, you what? Didn't you know why he left y'all's church? I said, no. Something horrible happened to his moral life. I said, what? We're pastoring. I called my mother. Mom, you never told me that brother so-and-so did it. Who told you that? That's from just the gates of hell. Oh, to invest. Now, what I felt this morning in prayer, and I was asking the Lord, how will we get there, especially after today? But I want all the young, anyone under 30, to come up and stand in front here. Anyone under 30. Okay, not the whole crowd get up. It looks like there's more in here than I thought. Squeeze all the way up here. I did shower this morning. Squeeze all the way up in here. Get huggy wuggy. All right, now, come on up in here. That's good. I want to talk to y'all in a minute. Now, it's hard to believe. My husband, I'll be married 40 years this year. It's hard to believe that I could have somebody your age. Ow! As a child. Ow! Ow! I mean, I could be a grandmother. What? Ow! Jesus, help me. Not being able to have children. I can't believe I'm old enough to have a 40-year-old. But if I had children, I would say one thing. And that would be this. you are your next generation of Esthers. And you are going to have to carve out your own wholeheartedness for God. Not your best friend sitting sin beside you. Because your destiny is not in cahoots with your best friend. I married a wonderful man that loved a chubby girl. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. He's handsome. Oh, my word. I'm going to have to call him as soon as I get out of here. But anyway. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that 40 years later, I'm in California. Someone asked me, Donna, how is it that this has worked out like this? I couldn't figure out because I don't have any pedigree whatsoever. I mean, I'm a hodgepodge 57, whatever's out there. Heinz 57. The Lord spoke to me and said this one statement. If you pray in secret, I'll reward you openly. I don't deserve all these beautiful things in my bedroom. All I've ever done is hide away and say, God, I'm a chubby woman, gal, girl, teenager that has something in my heart for you. And I love you. I love you that when my dad went blind when I was a teenager, that my mom said, your daddy's blind now. But remember, I've raised you to know that he'll protect us. He'll take care of us. When I could tell, she went back to work and worked full-time job as a nurse. And she worked late at night. I'd hear her walk down those hardwood floors praying over me, saying, God, help us financially. Help us. You see, you have a destiny in Jesus Christ. And you are an investment in the kingdom of God. And so we're going to play a song. Now, I want you to do this for me, okay? I just feel like, thank you all for being a part of this conversation. But this is private moment. Private moment. There's a bunch of people hearing this, but don't pay no mind to them. I want you to do this in your car, in your bedroom. I'm constantly forcing out things that's trying to get in my brain to direct me to leave the ark and do my own thing. Or whatever it is, just lose the wholeheartedness. I've got a song I'm going to play. I played this, as I said before. I played this so loud in my car. I played this so loud. As a matter of fact, I play it so loud in my car. I don't know why this song. I've got other songs I play loud like this. Brother, start playing that song for me. I vacuum. I clean my house. I put it in my car. Why? Because I want to know that the glory of God. I'm saying to the Lord, okay, while you're in the car with your friends, don't put whoever else in there. Put Mickey Sue. Put Gateway Bible College. Put IBC in there. I'm vacuuming, I'm cleaning. Why? You're forcing your mind to think. I'm keeping the glory of God ahead of my life. I'm keeping it 2,000 cubits ahead of me. I want you to order my steps, God. I want you to order my steps. I want tomorrow to be directed by God. I don't want to live a half-hearted life. Order my steps. Order my steps. You do not want to end up never knowing what you could have been. You don't want to end up living a life half-hearted and regret that He didn't walk ahead of you, that He didn't protect your life, that He didn't cover you with the army of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus! You want the future to be directed by God. You want your destiny to be directed by God. Hallelujah, Jesus! Play them loud in your car. Play the glory of God in your car. In your bedroom. In your house. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want us to stand behind us. I want you to reach your hands out to these beautiful, and if you want to get behind him, you can. These young ladies are facing their destiny. You've already walked many miles. You've already walked a lot of decisions. You've already lived choices. But we have a chance for these young ladies to walk the order of God.